Happy New Year.
Well,
that was a little better than the 9 o'clock, but don't tell him I told you that. So it's 6 days into 2019, and I'm wondering how many of you made New Year's resolutions? Few people, nobody wants to admit it. Better yet, maybe I should ask, how many of you are still keeping your New Year's resolutions? Okay. I learned a long time ago that even with the best intentions, New Year's resolutions are really, really hard to keep. So this year, I decided that instead of trying to change something, I would add something to my life. And I'm actually trying to write a handwritten letter each day to someone in my life who has been a help to me or been an encouragement to thank them for the blessing they are in my life. I thought it was really weird this year, though. Before even Christmas started to hit, you started to see those commercials and infomercials, and they even started to pop up on my iPhone about how you needed to change your bad habits. You know, I don't know if you had that, but maybe it's just me. Like you could take a class online to improve your intellectual skills or play Sudoku in a way that would keep your brain active every day. Maybe it was an app to tell you how many steps you take or how many steps you haven't taken and that you should. Or maybe it was that tone model in that advertisement for the exercise equipment that promises that if you get that same exercise equipment that you'll look just like her. I don't know, it hasn't worked for me yet, but we're trying. The most amazing ones are when they have those food plans that they deliver right to your door, and if you eat what they have in those boxes, you're supposed to get really skinny. The problem is always the potato chips that are in the back of the cabinet calling my name. I don't know about you. But I believe that New Year's resolutions are wonderful, and the idea to change is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, and starting something new, afresh in the new year is always important. But I think it's also important to remember that we need to understand why we're doing something, so the purpose of something, as well as the way that we can maintain our commitment to doing that new thing. I wonder how many of you have exercise equipment in your bedroom that might look more like a clothing rack than exercise equipment? Well, I have it in my house, so I'll admit it. But I find that even with the best of intentions, even with that exercise equipment looking at me every day, unless I have the reason behind why I need to and the commitment to do it, I'm never going to be successful at it. So this morning, I want us to look at our scripture passage and understand that it talks to us spiritually of who we are and why we are who we are and what we're supposed to do with that. It helps us to both understand what we do as Christ followers and to guide us more into a committed life of living out our faith. The understanding is that we are made brand new, just like Chef John talked about the young woman. She left her old ways behind and was made brand new when she accepted Christ, and that's who we are to be too. So just like this new year is starting off 2019 with a fresh slate, we're supposed to start off with a fresh slate as well when we accept Christ into our lives. So would you listen or read with me the words that are printed in your bulletin from 2 Corinthians? And it's from the Message translation, so it might be a little bit different than what you're used to hearing. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21 reads, "Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sin. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and to enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. And this is the word of the Lord." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we ask you today to open our ears, to open our hearts, to open our minds, to hear what you would have for us this day. Help us to remember that you do not want us to stay where we are, but that you draw us closer to you and to one another. Help us to be changed this very day by what you will teach us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So I was on a car ride with my daughter Morgan this week, going to and from Boston to get some things out of an apartment she had there. And she asked me this question. She said, "Mom, do you remember what you wanted to be when you were younger?" And right on the spot, I said, "Yeah, that's easy. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster." She kind of looked at me perplexed a little bit. I don't think I had ever told her that before. I said, "I wanted to sit behind the desk, and I wanted to give statistics on the players. I wanted to do the color commentary and make it exciting for the people that were watching. I wanted to do interviews with players on the sideline or on the side of the court and ask them all kinds of questions about the game." And then she said, "Well, why would you want to do that?" And I shared with her that when I was in high school, and even before that, I was an athlete. I played sports all year round. In fall, I played soccer. In winter, I played volleyball. I had tried basketball, but I was a little too short for that sport. And then in spring, it was softball. In fact, I wanted to go on to college to play softball, but that didn't pan itself out. I was one of those girls who didn't stand in front of the mirror before the school day started doing their hair. I was in the weight room trying to build up my muscles. And sometimes I would be admitting it, that I went to school probably not looking as good as the rest of them did. But I wanted to build up my muscles. I wanted to run faster and be able to swing the bat harder. And so I was willing to put in the time and commitment that meant. And even though I knew early on that I wasn't good enough to be a professional athlete, or that as a female there was not a lot of opportunities for women in professional sports, I still wanted to be around sports. I wanted to be around people that challenged themselves to build themselves up, to have stamina and endurance. I also remember back when the Olympics used to be on the same year, the summer and the winter Olympics, we would have it as an event in our house. We would sit around, make bowls of popcorn, and watch the Olympics. In the winter time, my mother would want to watch figure skating, and I would want to watch speed skating because I thought that was really cool. And in the summer, my mom always wanted to watch gymnastics, and I wanted to watch weightlifting. I guess that goes to show that she was more into the kind of graceful sports when I was more into the power sports, but that's for each of us to have our own idea. But I was always inspired by those athletes. How many years did they have to put in to get to the level that they were at? How often did they have to sacrifice other things in order to make their physical body able to participate in the sports they had chosen? And that's why I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. I wanted to be around that passion, around that willingness to build things up. As my daughter and I talked further, I realized that I didn't quite make that ambition. I'm not a sports broadcaster, as you probably all know. But I do feel like I'm still around people that need to be built up and to be strengthened, be it spiritually rather than physically. And it's just as important, if not more important, to think about our spiritual fitness rather than our physical fitness. Our scripture this morning in 2 Corinthians talks to the fact that Paul set forth to everyone who accepted Christ that they had a new start, a new beginning, a clean slate, a place to start with. Their old way of life was away, and their new life was just before them. And they weren't going to be doing this new life by themselves, but they were undergirded and empowered with God's own Spirit living in them. That's what I think is the most important thing when we think about how we are supposed to live our lives. We're not supposed to think that we do all of our lives on our own. God is important. So it's important to remember the twofold purposes that are put forth in the scripture. Since we are in relationship with God, He restores our health and He makes us new and He gives us new opportunities to restore relationships with one another. And likewise, we are tasked with something, to be God's representatives in the world, to tell everyone, it says in the scripture, about what God has done through Jesus Christ. So when we accept Christ, we of course are forever cleansed through the grace of God to do something, to be restored, to be strengthened, to go out and do God's work in the world. That's the good news. That's the purpose of what we do. But remember earlier I said it's not just the purpose, it's the idea that we need to commit to something. In order for anything to prosper, it has to have a full commitment for us. We have to fulfill the purpose by doing over and over and over again. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky in our spiritual lives. Many of us claim Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we really don't do a whole lot with that. We don't go the next step and step out in faith. And I've said it before from this pulpit, and I'll say it again. If conversion, if accepting Christ and being forgiven of our sins was the only thing that God had in store for us, then at that moment of our conversion, we would be taken to be with God in heaven. But he leaves us here for a purpose. He leaves us here to do something. He leaves us here to be his hands and feet. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's a requirement to not just know, but to actually do the things that God has us to do. And in order to do that, to step out in faith, we have to build ourselves up. We have to be trained. We have to be strengthened, both as individuals and a corporate body, so that we can go out and do things. Our service isn't trying to earn our salvation. Our service is an outpouring of our salvation. It's the fruits of the Spirit being displayed to people in the world because they know that we are people saved through Christ. And just as many of you are willing to go to the gym or work on your physical fitness, why aren't we so willing to work on our spiritual fitness? Why does that become not a priority, but something that's on the bottom of our list? It's great to come to church. It's great to hear a message. It's great to be able to be in fellowship with one another, but we also must do more than that. We have to keep working and building and flexing our spiritual muscles. It means simply doing more, taking more steps. Maybe it's praying for more things, and not praying just when we need something or we want something from God, but the Bible says pray without ceasing. Talking with God and listening to God and letting our lives be aligned with what his purposes for our lives are each and every day. It means living lives of integrity in such a way that what we say matches up with what we do, so that people know that we are authentic and we truly do believe what we say. It means setting healthy boundaries for ourselves around our health, around our finances, around our time, and more importantly, around our thinking, not allowing the way of our culture to fade in our lives and change the way that we're supposed to be, but be Christ-like and think like he would think. It means being loving yet honest and being faithful to the commitments we make. And it sounds hard, but truly, if we build up our spiritual muscle, then when we have to flex it and use our spiritual power, it won't be hard at all. In many ways, I think of our spiritual muscle in some ways as our will. If we align our wills with God's will, then he becomes the engineer of our lives and engineers well-being and goodness into our lives and blessing. That doesn't mean that bad things won't happen, but when they do, we have the strength to get through them because we know who we are in Christ. And living in God's will means that even when we face our fears, we can do some without crippling disillusionment. We can know that we can overcome. We can nip some of the bad behaviors we have in the bud and actually try to overcome them so they don't fester as problems in our lives for the upcoming years. We can flex our spiritual muscles by living authentically, being who Christ created us to be. And we become empowered by God, not in our own strength, but in God's strength. So how do we begin to do this? How do we start to flex our spiritual muscle? How in the new year do we set up, instead of a health routine, a spiritual routine? Well, it requires intentionality of making your spiritual life a priority. It means creating spaces in your life that don't have all this clutter or noise, but have calmness and clarity. Maybe that means getting up a little bit earlier in the morning, before your feet even hit the floor, taking 10 minutes in prayer while you're still lying in bed. Let God's perspective come into your life, so rather than seeing all the things you have to do, see that you're blessed to be able to do them. Maybe it's taking a walk at lunchtime instead of sitting in the cafeteria or sitting at your desk and listening to nature or listening to what God might have to speak to you when you're on your walk. Maybe it's finding a prayer partner, somebody who you can confide your troubles and your worries in, and they can lift you up with you and they can help you in their prayers. Maybe it's adding a new activity to your life, like journaling or listening to a podcast, or what I've begun to do is actually put something on my phone, a new app that has a devotional email that comes to my phone every single day, and I begin my day reading that to just set myself up in the right perspective. Maybe it's reading a book about something within Christianity that interests you, or attending a Bible school, or I'll even put a plug in for family ministry, helping us teach Sunday school. It's a great opportunity to get to know the kids and also grow in your faith. It means living your life in such a way that you're invested in your spirituality. You're invested in growing closer to Christ. You're invested in having the tools you need to get through this world. Honing your giftedness so that when God calls upon you, and he will call upon you, you aren't afraid to step out in faith, but you're equipped to do the best job possible for God's glory. As followers of Christ, it's really time for us to stop waiting and get spiritually fit. So I'll do my infomercial. It's not about an exercise equipment, but it's about God. There will be a day when you're sitting on the sideline and God needs you to go into the game. And if you're spiritually fit, you don't have to worry about flexing your muscles because you know that they're ready to go. Whether it's calling to be part of worship or to study or to witness to God for his purposing in the world, you'll be ready because you've prepared yourself beforehand. It's God who equips us. It's God who prepares us. And all he asks are two things: a willing heart and a teachable spirit. A willing heart and a teachable spirit. If we give God our heart and we let our spirit be filled with him, he will prepare us and he will make us into Christ's likeness. Remember, our spiritual life isn't this quick little sprint, but it's this marathon. It's a lifelong journey. It's God sowing seeds into our lives each and every day so that as things go along, we are prepared for what comes next. It requires building up our spiritual muscle to take focus on things, to be courageous, to commit to things. And I promise you, the life that comes from that will be worth it. It'll be authentic and blessed, free of worry that brings along its way in this world, and knowing that God is in charge. So I encourage you at the beginning of this new year, 2019, only 6 days in, to be intentional, to putting your energy in the places where it will make the most impact. And I believe that's in your spiritual life. As Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Will you take a moment to pray with me? Gracious God, we come before you today knowing that we have a clean slate because we have Christ as our Savior, knowing that you have things prepared for us to do, and knowing that we need to open ourselves up to be prepared for them. Help us this year to turn ourselves and our wills over to you rather than our own selves, and follow your leading into the places you would guide us. Strengthen us and embolden us to be your hands and feet in this world. We pray this in Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen.